Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, August 14th, Uruguay's Bishops' Conference issues a statement following a bill approving euthanasia, which passes in the House of Representatives. Over 108 organizations sign a joint letter calling on Israel to end what they describe as the weaponization of aid into Gaza. And the Holy See's permanent observer to the Organization of American States reaffirms its closeness to all indigenous peoples at a commemoration of the International Day of Indigenous Peoples. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Uruguay is now joining the growing list of countries around the world that have legalized some form of assisted suicide, as the dignified death law was just passed in the country's lower house. In response, the Episcopal Conference of Uruguay issued a statement expressing their sadness upon hearing of the news. Deborah Castellano-Luboff tells us more.
After 8 years of debate, the bill, named the Dignified Death Law, legalized euthanasia for people facing terminal illness. The Episcopal Conference of Uruguay issued a statement following the decision on the 13th of August, recalling what they had stated in their document, Facing the End of Life with Love, which was dated the 4th of April this year. The bishops expressed their sadness at the news of the bill. The document cited Uruguayan law, which states, nor is it ethically acceptable to cause the death of a patient, act of euthanasia, understood as the action or omission that accelerates or causes the death of a patient, is contrary to the ethics of the profession. Continuing to reference Uruguayan law, the bishops reiterated their support for palliative care that supports patients with dignity. They highlighted that the law clearly says killing a patient is unethical, even to spare them pain and suffering, even if they expressly request it. The Episcopal Conference's statement offered gratitude to everyone in the country that continues to work for the culture of care, respect for the gift of life, and support for those who, due to their illness, are in a vulnerable situation. The Dignified Death Law was approved by 64 of the 93 legislators who were present for the vote in the House. It gives access to assisted suicide to people with terminal, incurable, and irreversible illnesses if they provide express and repeated consent. This is not the first time the bill for euthanasia has passed in Uruguay. In 2022, the original bill passed in the lower house but was not signed into law. However, this 2025 bill has a key amendment. That is, requiring a medical board to review a case if two doctors involved in it disagree. Uruguay is now on a growing list of countries who have legalized some version of assisted dying, including Germany, Colombia, Austria, and Spain. I'm Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
Nearly 70 seminary formators from across Vietnam met recently in Than Hoa Diocese for their annual meeting. As Devin Watkins reports, they laid the groundwork for forming future priests in the country.
Priests in charge of seminary formation met recently in Vietnam's Than Hoa Diocese for the 2025 Conference of Major Seminaries. The annual gathering, led by Bishop Joseph Do Quang Cang, focused on revisiting the Ratio Nationalis for priestly formation in Vietnam. Bishop Cang described the update as an important and meaningful task that would shape the future of priestly training in the country. The conference drew directors and faculty from 11 major seminaries alongside committee secretary Father Joseph Pham Van Trong. The opening day began with a welcome from the Than Hoa diocesan leadership and an introduction to Samson Parish's history, followed by an opening Eucharistic adoration. The evening session set the tone for the days ahead, outlining the conference's purpose and assigning working groups. Over the next 2 days, participants examined six presentations comparing the 2012 and 2016 Ratio documents across four dimensions of formation: human, spiritual, intellectual, and pastoral. Topics included theological foundations, education management frameworks, and the integration of modern training models. Discussions reaffirmed the 2016 model's Christological vision of the priest as a man docile to the Holy Spirit, in communion with the community, and zealous in proclaiming the gospel. Delegates stressed that the four dimensions of formation must work in unison to shape priests to embody these traits. On the final day, participants celebrated a Thanksgiving Mass before departing for their respective seminaries. Organizers expressed their hopes that the conference's outcomes would strengthen both the mission and methodology of priestly formation in Vietnam. Their meeting sought to ensure seminaries remain faithful to the Universal Church's vision for priests formed to preach the gospel. I'm Devin Watkins.
And turning to Europe, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he has discussed security guarantees for his war-torn nation with Britain's Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, in London. Thursday's bilateral meeting came ahead of Friday's widely anticipated U.S.-Russia summit on how to end the war in Ukraine. Stefan Boss reports.
Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky and Britain's Keir Starmer embraced outside number 10 Downing Street in London, the official residence of the British Prime Minister. Both leaders ignored reporters' questions as they met to discuss how to halt Russia's invasion of Ukraine. After the talk, Zelensky wrote online that he had a detailed discussion with Starmer about security guarantees for Ukraine as part of a peace deal and about investment in Ukrainian drone production. Earlier, in a video call from Berlin with U.S. President Donald J. Trump and European leaders, Zelensky warned them not to trust Russia's leader Vladimir Putin. I told the U.S. president and all our European colleagues that Putin is bluffing. Along all parts of the Ukrainian front, Russia is trying to portray that it can occupy all of Ukraine. Of course, that is their desire, he says. Zelensky called for a trilateral peace talks format that would include himself, accompanied by a ceasefire and reliable security guarantees, and stressed that Moscow must not have veto power over Ukraine joining the European Union and NATO military alliance. He also urged that sanctions be strengthened if Russia refuses to agree to a ceasefire at Friday's Trump-Putin summit in Alaska. U.S. President Trump appeared to back him. Trump was asked whether Russia will face any consequences if Russian President Putin will not agree to stop the war after their meeting on Friday.
Yes, they will. Yeah.
What will the consequences be?
There will be
consequences. Sanctions, tariffs?
There will be, I don't have to say, there will be very severe consequences, yes.
For now, the fighting continues in Europe's bloodiest conflict since World War II. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
More than 100 humanitarian organizations, including Oxfam and Doctors Without Borders, have signed a joint letter calling on Israel to end what they describe as the weaponization of aid into Gaza. Nathan Morley reports.
The groups warn that starvation is deepening across the territory. They say they're increasingly being told that they are not authorized to deliver aid unless they comply with new Israeli regulations which were introduced back in March. According to the letter, Israeli authorities rejected more than 60 aid delivery requests in July alone. That's left warehouses stocked with food, medicine and shelter supplies, which is unable to reach those most in need. As it stands, hospitals are running out of basic supplies, and vulnerable populations, including children, the elderly, and people with disabilities, are dying from hunger and preventable illnesses. The organizations argue that the restrictions politicize humanitarian work and violate international law. Israeli officials, though, have defended the measures, saying they're necessary to prevent aid from being diverted to Hamas. Meanwhile, casualties from the acute lack of food are mounting as airstrikes and bombardment across Gaza continue to kill, injure and displace people and destroy civilian infrastructure, according to the UN. The Gaza health authorities reported on Wednesday that 8 people suffering from the effects of malnourishment and starvation, including 3 children, died in the previous 24 hours. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, said such reports had become a daily occurrence. They said that in the current year, more than 340 children have been admitted for malnutrition at 1 of 5 treatment centres in Gaza. As of August the 5th, a total of 49 child deaths from malnutrition had been reported, including 39 children under the age of 5. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The Nicaraguan government, led by Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo, has officially expropriated the San Jose School in Jinotepe, located in the Carazo Department. The school, which had been operating for 40 years, was run by the Congregation of the Josephine Sisters. According to the FA News agency, Murillo accused the nuns of being involved in crimes during the 2018 protests. She claimed the Sandinista supporters had been tortured and killed at the school during the anti-government demonstrations that erupted in April that year. Murillo also announced that the school would be renamed the Bismarck Martinez Educational Center in honor of a Sandinista activist who was killed during those protests. According to the independent news site Despacho 505, researcher Marta Patricia Molina condemned the government's action, accusing Murillo of defaming the religious congregation. And back in Vatican news, the Holy See's permanent observer to the Organization of American States reaffirmed the Holy See's closeness to all indigenous peoples, especially indigenous women, in a statement delivered at a commemoration of the International Day of Indigenous Peoples and the 8th Inter-American Week of Indigenous Peoples. Christopher Wells reports.
Speaking at a special session of the Permanent Council of the Organization of American States on Wednesday, Monsignor Juan Antonio Cruz Serrano reaffirmed the Holy See's closeness to all indigenous peoples, and especially indigenous women, in order to promote and safeguard their fundamental rights. The Holy See's permanent observer to the OAS noted that the theme of the special session, through the voice of indigenous women, visibility, leadership, rights, and economic autonomy, provides guidance for the debate on the contribution and essential role of women in society. The Holy See, Monsignor Cruz Serrano said, advocates for indigenous women to be seen as active protagonists in building a common future, rather than passive beneficiaries of policies imposed from the outside. Such advocacy, he explained, should be seen in the context of the Holy See's promotion of indigenous cultures, with appropriate spiritual journeys and attention to the customs and languages of the peoples. The permanent observer went on to say that the Church, in its various institutions and in the work it undertakes, continues to care for indigenous peoples in many parts of the hemisphere, investing in their education and health, and raising awareness in society so that the members of these communities can be protagonists and leaders of their own history. He noted in particular the intensive work of episcopal conferences, dioceses, parishes, and missions, as well as that of the Pan-Amazonian Ecclesial Network, RAPOM, among others. Finally, Monsignor Cruz Serrano expressed the Holy See's appreciation for the work of the OAS in reaching out to indigenous peoples and vulnerable peoples, especially women and girls living in the region. And he expressed its renewed support for initiatives that seek to amplify their voice, protect their rights, and ensure their full participation in the life of society. I'm Christopher Wells.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our Vatican News website and our social media accounts, where you can follow Pope Leo XIV during his upcoming events. Many thanks today go to the wonderful Alberto Giovannetti, and of course, join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.